Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus and chapter 20. Exodus and chapter 20. I don't want you to get all somber, and I kind of forewarned you on this and preaching the seventh commandment here this morning. And it's not something I relish. It's not something I enjoy preaching. You may find this strange, but I don't like preaching on sin. I do it because it's part of the whole counsel of God. I would love to just give out good news all of the time. That's kind of how I'm wired. That's kind of how I'm built. But when confrontation is needed, when sin needs to be named, man, I'm there. And I've always been there. And I've always been conscious of the fact that I don't enjoy it. And it might be a good thing that I don't enjoy it. So here I am, the under-shepherd of Fundamental Baptist Church, standing before basically the church family. There's some visitors here this morning. And you need to know this. America is in crisis. The moral temperature of the nation that we live in is below zero. There is just a utter, just moral impurity in every direction. And I know that I am out of step when I preach a sermon like this morning. I know what the culture is all about. I knew what it was about in the 60s. So I understand. And it may be like we're kind of feeling like we're kind of, trying to hold back the tide. But if God has called us to sound forth the truth and be that one bright light in a culture of darkness, and there are many others as well. But if that's what God would call us to do, then let's number ourselves with God. Let's be faithful to God. This deal of immorality, this deal of adultery is a real deal. Sexual sin has ruined many ministries. It's ruined many men. It's ruined many women. It's destroyed families. Because of sexual sin, little boys and little girls go to bed at night and they cry because of the devastation in their home. It's a dastardly sin. It is a wicked sin. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's part of the Decalogue. The seventh thing mentioned. Exodus chapter 20. That's introduction. Let's stand one more time. Let me read all the way down to verse 14. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a zealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. There's generational sin. They get started. Verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. By the way, that generational sin, that ought to keep you living right, because your children are following in your footsteps. And they're going to follow you, and they're going to go a step farther than what you go. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Ceremonial law there. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not work, do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the earth and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I'm glad we don't need to keep the Sabbath like the Old Testament Jews had to keep the seventh day, keep the Sabbath, because I don't know how you'd stay warm in your homes here this afternoon. That's the fact. We worship in the Lord's day. That was ceremonial law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. And that ceremonial law pictures the work of Christ. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Father, would you bless this morning? Get a hold of our hearts. It doesn't matter if this message is fancy. What matters is we hear it. And Lord Jesus, would you please speak to all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read all the way down to verse 21, though, maybe verse 19. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain Sinai smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. I can see them falling back in mass, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people just getting away from the mountain. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. That was the impression they got of our holy God. Our God must be awesome. Jehovah God on Mount Sinai, he must be awesome. He's the same God that sits on the throne today, and he is a holy God. So he gave us these commands so that we would grow thereby, and we would have understanding. Definition of the word adultery: thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery, in our definition, in our dictionaries today, a sexual relationship, not with your spouse, but outside of the marriage vows. It is an abandonment of the marriage covenant. It is a serious sin with God. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. Say, oh, preach it, man. I don't think this applies to me. So let her rip. No, it applies to all of us, and you'll see that in just a moment. First of all, there's the obvious. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. By the way, fornication is any sin outside of marriage, premarital, extramarital, any of that. That's fornication. And we're not to be fornicators. In fact, 1 Corinthians and chapter 10 and verse 8 says, neither let us commit fornication. It's mentioned. Sexual sins are mentioned so often in the New Testament. And the reason is obvious, because it's a real problem. God created us as sexual beings, and then he created man, and he created woman. One man, one woman. The marriage bed is undefiled. Pastor Bill read that this morning. But those that are adulterers, God will judge. If God is not a liar, he's going to judge adulterers. We need to understand, say, well, it hadn't happened so far. It's going to come down like a house of bricks when it comes. You don't want that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your cleansing, your being separated, set apart, that you should abstain from fornication. It's a problem. It's a problem. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that's his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. That means a passion of impure sexual lust. Now, if you're not in your Bible and you watch regular television programming, if you're not in your Bible and you listen to the radio like most people do, if you're not in your Bible and you rub shoulders with the lost in the world in which we are living, those that are not regenerated, those that are not born again, you'll get sucked into this vacuum. And the devil doesn't have to help you too much, because we're sexual beings. But that's supposed to be inside of marriage. God, man's messed it up. That's supposed to be also for procreation. That's why sodomy doesn't fit that, does it? And the Bible comes right out and tells us that. You know, so it's supposed, the marriage bed is undefiled. All others, God will judge. Not in the lust of concupiscence, passion of impure sexual lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud or lead astray his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God says in the Decalogue, number 7, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's a command. We find it in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14. Go to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. Would you do that, please? Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 10. I am going to get to the place in this message where I make very practical application. Right now, I'm just kind of laying the groundwork. I've defined adultery. It's any sex outside of the marriage covenant. And we are wrong when we do that. Think about this. I'm adopted into the family of God. I don't deserve it. It's the mercy of God. I receive his salvation. That makes me part of the bride of Christ, metaphor, New Testament metaphor, part of the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself is the bridegroom. If I'm willing to take salvation, and if I'm willing to take all of the blessings and all of the provisions of the bridegroom, and then I'm unfaithful to him, that is the highest kind of treason. That is the highest kind of immorality. That's just totally wrong. And God said, I've ordained this for the family. I've got the husband and I've got the wife. You stay within the bounds of the marriage covenant. I will bless you with children. You build that family in the grace of God. You grow in the grace of God. And you live in such a way that I can bless you. But if you don't, there's a penalty. Old Testament was death. This is the holy God that the children of Israel ran away from Mount Sinai when they saw the smoke and the thunder and the lightnings and the trumpets, and they knew they were in the presence of a holy God. Look what it says in Leviticus in chapter 20 and verse 10. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. It's harsh. Sin is bad news, man. Sin will send souls to hell. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm blowing my message as far as order right out of the water, but that's okay. I'm being led of the Holy Spirit right now. I do believe that. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. God says there is no room in heaven for an adulterer. God says there's no room in heaven for a fornicator. Now he mentions other sins too. And aren't you glad you're saved by grace? You know, the law is hard, but grace is good and mercy is good. And listen, if you've been unfaithful to God, God will take you back and he'll clean you up if you'll just get to the place where you'll come back to God. If you've been unfaithful to your wife, if you've been unfaithful to your husband, God will clean you up if you just get serious with God. But if you keep playing with the world, man, the wrath of God is going to fall upon you. Say, preacher, it hasn't happened so far. It's going to. It will happen. It'll be embarrassing. It might be life-ending. I don't know. I don't know what God is going to do, but that is the principles taught in the Word of God. There's a penalty for sin. Go to John chapter 8. John in chapter 8. It's so easy to fall into any sin. It really is. Verse 1 says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. That is present tense. That is active. In other words, she is right then at that part of her life, she's an adulterer. She practices it in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? They're trying to trick Jesus. Verse 6 says, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, picture this. They're trying to stump him with some deep theological question. What they want is they want the crowd to go against him. And instead of answering, he stoops down in the ground and he writes something. I have often wondered, what did he write? Many before me have wondered about that same thing. What did he write? Perhaps it was, thou shalt not commit adultery. The soul that commits adultery shall die. But he's not done. Let's read on here. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Now that hurts. He said, those of you that are perfect, you are worthy to judge. You'll cast the first stone. Perhaps Jesus, who is the Word of God, the living Word of God, prophesied James chapter 2 and verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, guilty of all. And again he stooped down, second time, and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. This is interesting. I never saw this before. All the times I've read this. Beginning at the eldest. Somebody that's lived a little life, someone that's older than me, they've been through a few battles. Hey, young people, Maybe you ought to listen to the authorities that God has put in your life, people that are older than you, because it isn't their first rodeo. They've been there before. I know you think they're old fuddy-duddies and they don't understand. Isn't it interesting that those that were going to stone the adulterous woman, the Bible says the first one that dropped their rock was the oldest one there and walked away. And then right on down the line to the least. Let me read it again. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Don't you miss this. Don't you miss this. This is big. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. Notice she called him Lord. No, something's taking place on the inside. And Jesus said unto her, he's not condoning her sin. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He's talking about adultery. A changed life. Go and sin no more. And I can't help but think of maybe the second thing that Jesus wrote is something like what he taught in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we worship a God that hates sin, but we worship a God that loves sinners. And we're not to set ourselves up as judge and jury and executioner. Amen. We're not to be secret agent Christians looking for Christians that are backslidden. That is wrong. Wrong motivation. Just altogether wrong. And I find the people that are the most condemning in life are the ones that aren't in their Bible. I have found that out. Listen to an old man now. I'm telling you, I've seen that again and again and again. Sometimes the most unmerciful are the ones that deserve and have received the most mercy. Yeah, I said that backwards. Yeah, those that are not willing to give mercy are the ones that expect it in their life all the time and are the most in need. It's an amazing truth. It's kind of a common sense kind of religion. The definition of adultery, outside the marriage covenant, breaking the marriage covenant. The command, if you commit adultery, you are to be stoned. I would say this too. There are too many that have become a product of our Christless society. Don't let the culture dictate what you believe about Bible. And by the way, the devil doesn't own the keys to his own house. Don't give him the keys to yours. And don't do that. As a child of God, understand and recognize the battle that is going on and how wrong it is. There's a penalty for sin. The application to the man. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. This is where it gets a little bit personal. Right now, everybody's in agreement, right? Matthew chapter 5. And verses 27 and 28. By the way, a good down-to-earth, and I've studied it through, definition of the word lust is to fantasize, dwell on, think about. It's harmless. That's what David said when he looked upon Bathsheba. He should have turned away. And then he looked upon her. Setting yourself up, you say, I'll never go over that bridge. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. You've got to be smart about this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Remember what the Ten Commandments has been all about all through this? It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. It's not just the externals. The externals ought to be the result of the heart. If you have the externals and you don't have the heart, you're a hypocrite. And you're going to end up falling flat on your face. It's a heart thing. So you say, man, I've never committed adultery. I've never been unfaithful to my wife. I've never been unfaithful to my husband. Look what he says here in Matthew in chapter 5 in verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Direct quote, Exodus chapter 20. But I say unto you, this is Jesus, he goes further, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. So he's saying to the man, it isn't just the act, it's the heart. If you look on a woman to lust after her, in your heart, you're committing adultery. In your heart, you're being unfaithful. In your heart, you're disobeying the very core of the Ten Commandments. In your heart, you're putting yourself in a place that God cannot bless you. And by the way, this sexual sin will rob you of the power of God. Book of Hosea will rob you of the joy of God. You can keep the outside facade up, but before long, it's empty on the inside. It's gonna cave within. It's gonna cave from the inside out. So as a people of God, we need to be that people that that is controlling our heart. Verse 28, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. So to the man, it's very simple. You got to guard your eyes. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14 speaks of those that have eyes full of adultery. They are beasts, the scripture says. That's what Peter said. Psalm 101 and verse 3, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Jesus taught us, talking about a heart thing, it's not what you put in the body that is wrong. It's what comes out of the body. It's that which you're taking in evil, that which is evil is going to come out. As a people of God, if we have eyes full of adultery, I'm preaching to the men right now, because I know how a man is wired. I also know that women can become that way and become silly, but it's really not natural. And that's a good thing for the women. You can develop an appetite, but that's not natural. For the man, it's physical. It's there all the time. And if it's not there, you need to get a physical from your doctor because something is wrong, right? So, and I know sometimes women think, oh, men just shouldn't be that way. God made them that way. That's why modesty is such a big issue. That's just the way, you know, blame God for that. That doesn't give an excuse for a man to not control his thoughts. Amen. That does not give an excuse for man to fall into sin. That is just wholeheartedly wrong. So we need to guard our thoughts. To the women, just write it down. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 3 and 4. Simply put, 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, don't advertise the flesh. That's what he says there. Don't advertise if it's not for sale. That's a little bit crude, but that's truth. So you don't advertise the flesh. We're to be modest, 1 Timothy, men and women, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He's talking to women there. But Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus and make not provision for the lust of the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. To the church, we need to be careful we are not guilty of spiritual adultery. James in chapter 4, would you turn over there quickly? Book of James, oldest book in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, talking to Christians, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Unfaithfulness to Christ is spiritual adultery. You know how many churches are unfaithful to Christ? You know how many individuals that are born again are unfaithful to Christ? You know how many people, well, one time they were on fire and born again, and now they're running with the world? They're a spouse, they're promised to the bridegroom, and they're out running with the world. Being unfaithful. A friend of the world is an enemy of God. Jesus said, whosoever is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not, they scattereth abroad. I don't want to be a scatterer. Man, I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a gatherer. I want to be on God's side. So it's important as a church that we do not commit spiritual adultery. And I'll tell you this, this generation's under attack. If you thought the 60s were bad, and they were bad, If you were not born again back then, or you were part of your circle of sphere of friends, it wasn't people that were born again, and your church, there wasn't a church in your area that was sounding forth the truth. 60s were bad, man. That was all free love. You remember that? All free love and acid and man, just bad stuff. The 70s were bad. The 80s were bad. The 90s were bad. 2000, now we're 2010, and it's 2019, and it's bad. Little boys and little girls, if we're not careful, they grow up thinking that's normal. There are teenagers that think you're out of step, you know, because you stand for old-time Bible truths. And man, if we don't give them the truth, it's on us. Now, let me be very, very practical. You might want to rip out a pen or a pencil and write these down. I'm not going to turn to all these verses. I got six things. I don't want you to give the devil the keys to your house. I said it. That's not original with me. I heard it this last week. I thought, that's good. That is good. The devil doesn't own the keys to his own house. Don't give him the keys to yours. He'll destroy you. Number one, here's how to keep the keys. Control your thought life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 2 through 6. The devil is trying to capture your mind, your thinking. He'll do that. You can't match wits with him. You can't step outside the protection of God and the Word of God and the local church and match wits with the devil. He'll capture your mind. He'll turn you. He'll turn you away from truth. You'll go off to a university. You'll go off to work. You'll go off to around a bunch of people that aren't born again. If you're not grounded and you're not in the book, man, he's going to turn you. That culture will influence you and turn you away from God. Control your thought life. I pray for you guys that work in the prison. Because I know what's on those television sets in that prison. And I've seen, I've heard, I know I the language that goes on in that prison. And you're immersed in that. Well, God's special grace on you. Don't get caught up in it. Don't allow that to penetrate your thought life. You need to wash your mind with the word of God. Control your thought life. Number two, dress appropriately. 2 Timothy 2, 9 and 10. Key word that you and I both understand. It's in the text, modesty. Shamefacedness, modesty. Number three, there are certain places, this is common sense religion, you should not go. There are certain places you should not go. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. That's like the mouse playing with the mouse trap. Is that stupid? Oh, I've never gotten caught so far. That's stupid. And I hope every mouse gets it right in the head, man. I hate those things. Rats more than that, man. In fact, let's put some snakes in there, too. Let's get every single one of them. You can't play footsie with the devil and win. There are certain places. It's common sense. Oh, God, help me. God, help me. And you run off to the cesspool. Man, you're drinking from a sewage tank. You know, what is that about? Certain places you should not go. And number four, there are certain people you shouldn't hang out with. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. That the previous was 2 Corinthians 6, 17. I don't know if I gave you that or not. Certain people you should not hang out with. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. They'll corrupt you. Say, I'm strong. Only for so long. Number five, guard your eyes. Psalm 101 and verse 3. You can't read bad stuff, look at bad stuff, watch bad stuff, and not have it affect you. It does. And the world will not give you good counsel. It's amazing how many counselors are out there in the world. Coworkers, they tell you, oh, go ahead and have an affair. Go ahead, everybody's doing it. And they've been divorced 3 times. They're great counselors. They know what they're talking about. All their kids are off in the world running wild, and you're going to take their counsel? Think about that. Common sense religion. Guard your eyes. Number six is big. Romans 10, 17. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We're all capable, aren't we? If we were honest with one another, we're all capable. Every single one of us. He that is without sin, cast the first stone. And Mr. Self-Righteous, go ahead, pick that stone up and let it rip. Going to come back at you, though. You know, as a child of God, you understand we're broken people, and it's a constant work. It's a constant development. We constantly, you know, and it's there. It's there all of the time. And sometimes women are naive in the things that they do. Sometimes they're willingly ignorant. You know, that'll all be straightened out if they're born again at the Bema seat. It could be some aren't born again. That some aren't saved. Man and woman, thou shalt not commit adultery. Paul warned Timothy. He warned him, watch out for silly women. Just looking for attention. Many a ministry has been destroyed that way. You pray for me, pray for your pastors. I'm pretty good. I'm still afraid of women. I still am. That's not a problem. But we're all capable. As a people of God, thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't let fornication once be named among the saints. Say, preacher, it's too late. I've committed adultery. I've done wrong. I've been immoral. I've broken the marriage covenant. The promise is made. Here's the thing about Jesus. If you're still alive and the Holy Spirit's still pricking your heart, you aren't seared. You aren't so cold you don't hear him anymore. You recognize how wrong it is. There's a knot in your stomach. You're carrying a burden. If you'll come to Christ, you get it all cleaned up. But listen to what Jesus said. Woman, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.